This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is Raymond C. Rook, who is a preacher and Bible teacher.
Father, the song that we just sung are words that we understand and are our request tonight. Have thine own way. We know, our Father, as we say that to you, you do and you will accomplish all that is your purpose. You are the sovereign God. And Lord, we thank you for your greatness and your love to us and your care for us. And our Father, our desire is that you might so move in our hearts and within our lives that your will be expressed and that we might be a witness of your goodness and of your grace and of your majesty. Lord, meet with us tonight. Cause the truths of thy word to be precious. Apply them to our hearts and lives, we pray thee now. In Jesus' name, amen. Very good. Thank you, brother. Tonight we're going to do something somewhat different than we've done before. I'm always doing something different, aren't I? In the past we've looked at the man at the book of Samuel, and we looked at David. And it's a very interesting individual to look at. His name appears many, many times throughout the whole of the Bible. He was a man of prominence. He was a man of position. And the scripture said of him, he was a man after God's own heart. So there's much that we can learn by looking at the life and at the person of David. In the book of 2nd... Tonight I seem like I'm confused. I am confused. I've been confused all my life. But there's so much. I've spent hours and hours and hours trying to put together where I want to take this tonight. When David became king, the neighbors of theirs, who were right close to them, constantly were trying to take and remove them from their possession that God had given to them. And there were times of constant battles that took place. And I think about this particular battle when they went out to war in 2 Samuel. They went out to war against the Philistines, and they captured the Ark of the Covenant. And I thought, we need to think about the Ark of the Covenant. What is and what was the Ark of the Covenant? Is it just a term that is used within the Old Testament and it was indicative to the people of Israel? Or was there some great significance? And so I thought tonight what I would try to do was to look at the Ark of the Covenant and to understand somewhat what it's saying to us. There's nothing within the Word of God that is not applicable to us. There's nothing in the Word of God that is not important for us. There's nothing in the Word of God that keeps us from learning about who God is. And it is a desire of the child of God, this true child of God, is to know God. That has been the occasion of all the men of the Scriptures. Whoever came into being, into position, were men who sought to know and to serve and to honor God. Well, it's the same today. He is the same God. We're not a nation of Israel as they were then, and there is a nation of Israel. Don't misunderstand me. But our relationship with this God is founded upon a different point of view than Israel had in that particular time. They were a people who were primarily thinking about an earthly possession. They weren't their eyes were not fixed upon the eternal. Though the eternal was basically there before them and involved with them, and they were used by God to advocate that truth and to proclaim that truth, they weren't really greatly informed as to who God was. Now, there were men within that community, within the realm of the nation of Israel, who were very, very close to God, and God had dealt with in a very personal way. We've been talking about this man David. He was one of those men, a man that was very, very close to God, and yet he was a man. He was a man who had a relationship with God that extended over a period of many years throughout the lifetime and under some very adverse and difficult circumstances. God said to him one day, or God said to his father and to him one day, you are going to be the king of Israel. And he was just not much more than a boy when that happened. And he kept his mind and his place, and God continually blessed him and moved him ahead until there became a day when Saul was gone and the threat by Saul was gone, and David became king of Israel. Well, we find as we study the Scriptures that he was also the predecessor, as far as line was concerned, of the Son of God. And it's important then to see the connection that goes on down through. This man David was a man who God says a man who's after my own heart. In the Psalms of David, we find, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So you can see the direction in which his thoughts were. Our feet are standing on your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. This is what the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statutes given to Israel. That was what they did. There the throne for judgment stands, the throne of the house of David. And though David lived many years before the coming of Christ, it was already determined, God had already determined that God would produce through the line of David a king, the Christ. And so David, as he grew in the knowledge of the things of the Lord, God took that truth and constantly brought it to his attention. He was constantly aware of that. He was a man who was a man in every degree, in every sense of the word. So often people want to look at David and say, well, he was head and shoulders above everybody else. David was a man. He was always a man. He always was confronted with the difficulties that you and I are confronted with in some degree or another. He was a man. And when God told him that he would someday be the heir of the coming Christ and the Savior, he believed that. He believed that God was going to make him king, even when all the people round about him were in opposition to him. When Saul was reigning and the great throngs that were behind Saul were against him, David believed that God said, I'm going to make you king. And you remember we looked at this time and again, we've seen where David had opportunity to take Saul's life, but he did not do so, because that was in God's hand. And then we remember when he went out into the back desert and he lived there and the people came to him. And there was a great following. He started out just as 30 men. He ended up with thousands of individuals who were living with him in the wilderness before he became king. And so when he became king, he became a man of great importance. And so we find over and over again, David was a man after God's own heart. Now, we looked at David time and time again, and what I want to bring to your attention tonight is, under his watch, or while he was king, the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant, and they had carried it off, and I was just thrilled. That's what I've been doing all week long, reading the variations from that particular point and thinking about that. And they carried it off and they put it in the place of where their gods were. Do you remember reading that? Let's see if I can come up with the verses here quick. I don't know. I might as well throw my notes away as far as I'm concerned tonight, because the subject is so broad. And they came to do away with David and with the Ark of the Covenant they took in captive. I noticed that they went out to war, the Ark of the Covenant went with them. And if you look back and you study that, where you start in Exodus chapter 25, and you keep reading where this appears over and over again, that this was always the forefront of their battle line. I was thinking about this as I looked, and when they crossed over from the west side of the Jordan River into the Promised Land later on, it was the Ark of the Covenant that went into the water first, and the waters departed, you remember? And they set it in the middle, and the Ark of the Covenant stayed there. And that was not just an ordinary box. In fact, as I looked at the word ark, and I was really surprised. How many times do you think it appears in the scriptures? I'm not going to ask you. I told you. I was amazed. It appears 197 times, the word ark. Now, 31 of those times has reference to the Ark of David. Same Hebrew word. Very interesting. The Ark of David and the Ark of the Covenant, as far as that's concerned. And I wondered at my thinking, what was the Ark? What significance? It was the Ark that was brought into the temple, or not into the temple, but into the tent in the wilderness. It was given to Moses. They were given specific instructions as how to build it. I learned something else this week too. That was two cubits, or a little over 2 cubits long. Now, how long is a cubit? Does anybody know? Well, you'd be surprised. A cubit is the distance from the end of the middle finger to the tip of the elbow. And my cubit is actually 16 inches. Some people's cubits are 18 inches. And so forth. So the cubit was not what we would consider an accurate means of measurement. But anyhow, the ark was approximately 4 foot long. And it was about a little better than an ark, a little better than a cubit wide. It was made of Arcadia wood, and I looked that word up and I searched wherever I could find to find out what Arcadia wood is. And I don't know, the best thing I can get is it was a hardwood. It was a wood that finished very nicely, similar to what we would call oak today. And that was the type of wood it was used in. And I looked at all these things, but what significance did the Ark of the Covenant have? Well, it was given to Israel while they were in the wilderness. And when they would start to move in a direction, they would move with the Ark in front of them. When they went into battle, that would go with them. And they thought, well, what? You know, I would say, well, that seems to me like an extra burden on people. But the Ark of the Covenant was representative of God. And those people who took care of the Ark were very, very careful. They were not allowed to do certain things. They were not allowed to touch it. They were allowed to carry around it, but they did not touch it. When they carried it, they carried it with long shafts on either side. It was the center of worship for the children of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, where later on we find that the Ten Commandments were placed within it. The commandments that God had given to Moses on the mountain were placed within it. Other things that were of great importance in the development of Israel and their progression through the wilderness were placed within it. And that stayed with them at all times throughout the whole of their experience. It was a center of worship. When people worship, they worship before the Ark of the Covenant. And you think, oh, it's just a box. Just a box with the commandments within it and given special position. But as we look in the scripture, we find it was more than just a box. And David realized that the Ark of the Covenant was of importance. Saul had looked away from that. And they had gone into a place and they lost where the Ark of the Covenant had been taken. One of the things that came into David's attention when he returned was to and become king. His goal was to bring the Ark of the Covenant back up into Jerusalem and to set there as the center of, to be the center of their worship. And it was very important. And if you remember the story that is involved in the book of 1 Samuel, and I was looking for the pages, that he brought that he sent men out to find that ark and to bring it back. And what happened to them when they confronted it, they were not able to handle it. If you remember that story, interesting thing about it is when it was the source of blessing for Israel, but for the other nation, it was a source of difficulty. When they had captured it, they put it in their temple, and the first thing that happened, you remember what happened? What happened? Their God fell on its face before it. And they set it up again, and they set that God up again. The next night it happened again. This time it broke the neck and the arms off of their God. And so they said, let's get rid of it. I thought as I was reading that and considering it, I think that I would probably, if I were the worship of Dod, and that had happened in my thing, I think I'd have been looking again very hard at my God. But they didn't look at their God. All they wanted to do was get rid of the Ark of the Covenant. And so they gave it from one town, and in that town where they had then came all kind of sickness and difficulty, and people wanted to get rid of it. So they moved it over to another town, and what happened? They wanted to get rid of it again, because the same thing happened in that location and wherever it went. And finally they said, hey, we've had enough of this, and they put it on a nice new cart with a pair of cows, and they said, now we're going to look at that, and if that ark goes back to Israel, we'll know that their God is involved with them. If it just wanders off in another direction, then we'll know that their God is not with them. And so they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it on they put it on a trailer, like, and they put two cows on it, and they let it go, and it went directly, immediately, to the nation of Israel. It seemed to know where to go, and it did know where to go. I think, again, if I had been the Philistines at that particular point, because they watched it all the way up, and I think if I'd have been one of the Philistines, I'd have said, hey, hold on, there's something wrong here, because this God, the God who is represented by this Ark of the Covenant, is a God who is in control of all things. And I think I would have turned from where I was to them, to the worship of that God. But they did not do it. And consequently, they did do battle again and lost. The interesting part about it is that David, when he became king, recognized the importance of the Ark of the Covenant in the means of worship of the nation. And he did within his power, and all within his power, to return it. So he went down and sent down to where the Philistines had sent it, to a country. Well, I'm a little ahead of my story here. When they came back to Israel, and the Israelites said, oh, the Ark is back. And so they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll build a nice new trailer, and we'll sit down, and we'll put it on, and we'll bring it back up. And they put the Ark of the Covenant on the back of this trailer, and they began to move, and the horses began to pull it, and what happened? It began to rock. You remember that? And there was a man reached out and touched it with his hand, and what happened to him? Do you remember? He's dead. He was a dead man. There was great power involved with the Ark of the Covenant. Any nation that possessed the Ark of the Covenant without the relationship with God were a nation that were under the condemnation of God. Israel, power and might was the result of their relationship with the God of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you remember, that Ark was given to the children of Israel while they were still in the wilderness. And they were going through many difficult places. I mean difficult. They were traveling about 3 million strong across a desert land. It took them 40 years to do it. And God fed them every day, and he gave them water to drink, and he cared for them. And it became the center of their worship. It seems that some of them never did learn that. They had all the opportunity of seeing God's blessing, partaking in God's blessing, but they did not enter in to that understanding. Now, some of them did. And eventually, Israel became through the wilderness, went in and possessed the land where they were presently at this time, when David came on the scene. And so they took, and they took the ark, and they brought it back, and they attempted to bring it back on the brand new cart that David had made special for that. And what happened? You remember what happened? It tilted, and a man reached up to touch it, and he was struck dead immediately. Well, David became a little bit unround on that, and he turned around, went home, and he put that into a house that was thereby. And they ordained the men who were there to take care of it, and they did take care of it. And that house began to prosper and to be blessed, and it became a source of great blessing. And David looks back and he says, hey, that is God's blessing upon that. And the nation of Israel is not being blessed, but that house is being blessed. So he said, we'll go down and we'll get that Ark of the Covenant, and we'll bring it back up here, and we'll bring it into the center of the worship of the whole nation. And so he said, now the Philistines had built a brand new cart for it. He said, I'll build a brand new wagon for it, and we'll send it horses on it, and we'll send it down. We'll set that Ark of the Covenant on that. And that's what he decided to do. And what happened, as I relayed a few moments ago, is it began to shake, and the man who had been around it most of his life reached out to touch it. When he touched it, God struck him dead. And David was so upset that he went back and left it there in that house for that period of time. Now, I've gone over and over the same thought over again, and the reason I do that is because I want you to see the emphasis that God places upon this particular piece of furniture. It was a representative of His presence within the nation of Israel. And it continued to be so. Now, I'm going to come back to this in a few moments, but I want you to see the ultimate end of this. When Jesus hung on the cross, you remember? And he said, Father, I commit my soul into your hands, and he gave up the ghost. What happened? You remember? In the temple of Jerusalem, the curtain that hung in front of the Ark of the Covenant was split from top to bottom. And you see that there was a continuous relationship between the Ark of the Covenant and the relationship Israel had with God. It is representative, the Ark of the Covenant, I didn't realize this till I began to look at it a little bit more. It is representative to the person of Jesus Christ, because all the commandments were within it. All the law of God was within the Ark of the Covenant. It was gold, covered with gold on the outside. It was made of Arcadia wood. It was very precious and very costly as far as our way of thinking. The Ark of the Covenant was the center focal point of the worship of Jehovah up until the time of Christ. And then when he died on the cross, the Ark was freed. Somebody was telling the other, I was trying to find out, where is the Ark now? Nobody really knows. There's there's a nation that lives not too far from Israel, claim that they have the Ark of the Covenant in a particular building or in a temple within their land. But nobody has ever been able to see it. And of course, as far as significance is now concerned, it's a thing of the past, because Christ is the relationship that exists between God and man. And when we look to Him and we bow to Him, He is the source of our relationship with God. He is our ark, and He is the means of our relationship with God. Well, David saw this ark was there, his desire, and he realized that it was a source of the worship of Jehovah, so he wanted it brought up into the temple, not for personal gain, but for the benefit of the nation of Israel. He wanted that nation to be a nation that serves and honored God. So many people would like to look down on this David and what he did, but he did so with the purpose of the progressing of the worship of God. He really believed that God was to be worshiped and to be honored and to be set forth. I think that that was the sum substance of who he was. He was a believer that God was that place of blessing and the source of blessing. And they sought to have him as the source of blessing. And so David desired to bring the Ark of the Covenant up, but could not at that particular moment of time. Later on, it became a reality and became a source of blessing to that nation of Israel from the time of David on down through, even after the exodus to Babylon, even down through to the time of the cross. This Ark of the Covenant was built back 1,300 years before Christ and brought down and kept in that place of worship. Many people, when they think about the Ark of the Covenant, they don't think about it, and to be perfectly honest with you. People don't have enough nerve to get up and to talk about it. It's a very hard subject to follow. I spent, as I told you, the better part of the week just trying to trace it down and to look at all the various things that are about it. A very important piece and very important function. It spoke of Christ. It revealed the redemption was in Him and the relationship that was found in Him. So David sought the ark, and he did everything in his power to bring it unto that relationship. Well, I think that I've thoroughly gone over what I've gathered, not as well as I would have liked to have. I found it an extremely difficult subject to put it all together and to look at it from the perspective of teaching what the ark was. I can tell you what the length of it was. I can tell you about the width of it. I can tell you about the height of it. I can tell you it was made of wood. It was a box-like affair, made of wood, but over-covered with pure gold. That on each end of it there was a angelic being, a replica of an angelic being, made of pure gold, beaten gold, that overshadowed. All of this spoke of the coming Christ. That's what it was all about. That's what God was teaching Israel, that there's a Savior coming. And they were talking about that redemption which is in Him. And so, as I said, I've looked at this at great length and am not able really to convey it all to you. I have all kinds of notes. I could read them, but I don't think that you'd be much interested in my reading them to you. What I'm trying to do is to put it out into words that readily understood. If somebody asks you now, what is the Ark of the Covenant? Where is it? What significance did it have? The significance was it was the center of worship. It was a picture of Christ. The Ark of the Covenant was a picture of Christ. Throughout the whole of the Scriptures, you find Him pictured over and over again. Adam and Eve had a picture of Christ. And we find that they worshiped this God through their blood sacrifice, looking forward to Christ. And if you look down through the ages, you'll find that each of those men of importance, men of renown, Noah was it one who was looking, not deliverance from the flood alone, but he was looking forward to the coming of Christ. He was looking for the Redeemer. That was it, that was his goal of life. When Abraham came upon the scene, what was his goal? Not the immediate extent of Abraham's family, but the coming of Christ. And that was the promise that was extended to Abraham, that there would be one who would come, who would be the Redeemer of Israel. This was passed on not only to Abraham, but to Isaac and to Jacob, and down through the ages, to Joseph, and each one, there was that constant looking forward to that day when the Christ would come. God had purposed from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of time, to bring forth a son. What a wonderful thing that is. God knew that he could not have a relationship with his creation because of their frailty, because of their inability. And so what did he do? He made a promise that I will come and I will become flesh and I will become the Redeemer and I will be the Savior and I will be the one who is the source of relationship. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was the relationship. He was the source of relationship with the Father. He was God manifest in the flesh. All of this points to, with fingers outstretched, to the coming of the Savior Christ. He is the one that was all important. He has always been of utmost importance. Now, we live in the 20th century, or is this the 21st century? We live in the 21st century of this era. And what is the goal of the Church of Christ, the true Church of Christ today? The coming of Christ. He's going to come again, and he's going to receive us unto himself. He's going to come and set up and establish his kingdom forever and ever across the whole universe. This is the message that God had from the very beginning. God is going to have relationship forever with his people. When we get into God's heaven, I think we're going to see David and some of those individuals of the Old Testament and look forward to meeting Moses, a great man of God who lived under various circumstances, difficult circumstances. They're there because of a relationship with this God. Israel continued to progress because of their relationship with this God. The Ark of the Covenant was carried before them into battle. It, when they began to move as a nation, it was before them. It walked before them. Whatever became of importance to that people and to that nation, the Ark of the Covenant was central. The worship and the praise of that God. That's what David was doing. David understood this, and he went to get the Ark of the Covenant and to bring it up into the center of worship, because he knows and he thought and we believe that we need to worship this God. And the Church of Jesus Christ in this day in which we live, our chief end is to worship God. To help our neighbors, yes. To be a people within a community that is set for his glory. But we need to worship God. That's the utmost importance for the people of God in this particular day. Now, we can worship God through the Ark of the Covenant, through the one who came and brought us unto a relationship with God. Israel had a relationship with God because of the Ark of the Covenant. We have a relationship with God because the person who was depicted by the Ark of the Covenant is our Savior and is our Lord. Israel looked forward to the coming of the Ark and the bringing of the Ark of the Covenant to the presence in the central. We look forward to the day when he shall come again, and we shall be with him forever and ever. The Ark of the Covenant is not just a particular piece of furniture. Not a particular piece of furniture. I noticed one thing I was saying when I was studying this. The word ark, which appears 197 times, 31 of it refers to the ark of David, or the ark of Noah. Noah's ark is mentioned 31 times in the scriptures. And I have a list of them if you're interested. But anyhow, it's the thing about it is the ark of Noah's day saved 8 souls. 8 souls. That's 8. 8 souls. The Ark of the Covenant, and the one who is depicted in the Ark of the Covenant, has saved millions of souls through time. He brought us into a relationship with God that is real, that is alive, that is eternal. So we not only have the Ark of the Covenant, but we have the one who is able to bring us into that relationship. David looked forward to that relationship. I look forward to that relationship. Many of us look forward to that relationship with God that is constant, that is continuous. There are some people who would like to have a relationship with God once a week when it fits their schedule. See? If it fits my schedule, I'll be there Sunday. And if it doesn't fit my schedule, I won't. And they like to have a relationship with God once a week. The relationship with God is something that we worship God day after day. I don't know how you people get up in the morning. When I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, today is my desire that I might honor you and please you and glorify you. And I don't have the strength to do it, but I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your help along the way. I want to worship you. David wanted the nation of Israel to worship God. And that was the center of worship for them at that particular time. It was a worship that looked forward to the coming of Christ. Today we look back. He came and he lived, he died, he rose, he ascended into heaven and said, I will come again. And we want to worship that God. We want to honor him in all that we say and all that we do. Well, I don't know if I've made a point. I don't know if I've gotten across the truth. I hope that what I've done is to stir your thinking, that you're going to back and look at your Bible and you're going to look at these various chapters. Look at chapter 25 of Exodus and read it. You'll find it hard reading. You'll find it extremely difficult reading. Look at the appearance of the ark when they moved out into the wilderness. You'll find it not understandable from the point of reason as far as human reason is concerned. But it was the source of God's blessing and direction to that nation. So don't underestimate it. Don't consider it just a piece of furniture, a beautiful piece of furniture, a piece of furniture covered with gold and set upon with gold. Here was a man, when it began to shake on a wagon, reached out and touched it to stable it. You say, there's nothing wrong with that. Right. From the human point of view, it was the ideal thing to do. But it was the wrong thing to do as far as God was concerned. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. It is truth. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And our Father, our desire tonight is that people might be moved and touched to worship you You demand worship. You ask of worship. You require us to worship you. And Father, it is our desire to worship you. Lord, bless us, we pray, as we think upon these truths. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.